You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's a great football team with a lot of moral fiber and a lot of character, and they showed it.
Shout. A Buffalo football podcast hosted by Matt Perino and Ryan Talbot.
No place else you'd rather be than right here, right now. When it's too tough for them, it's just right.
Presented by Syracuse.com and NYUp.com.
The Bills make me wanna.
What is up, Bills Mafia? Welcome into our final pre-draft episode of Shout, a Buffalo Bills football podcast. He is Ryan Talbot, to my left, to your right. And then below us are our special guests on this week's special live mock draft. We have Carl Jones from WROC in Rochester, proud North Carolina alum, taking out some time to join us today. And then Justin Mello from the Draft Network. We're bringing in a professional draft guru to tell us why all of our takes are absolute nonsense. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today.
No, thank you, Matt. I feel like you just said some fighting words with the Tar Heel comment, but you know what? I'll let it slide for today. I'll let it slide.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
Well, Ryan, we're so pumped to get this thing going. How excited are you to have the final mock draft here in the process?
Yeah, I'm definitely good with this being the final mock draft at this point. I love draft season. I'm excited about these next few days, but I'm ready to put mock drafts away here for a few months here after today.
All right, so the Chicago Bears are on the clock. We're going to zoom probably through these first three picks. We did the order ahead of time. It's going to go Carl, Justin, Matt, Ryan, and we're going to kind of just recycle that the whole way through. We will take a couple of off-ramps because I want to talk a little bit about some of the areas where the Bills could possibly consider a move up, and whether or not we think a move up for a specific player or players is worthwhile. It's going to be a fun exercise. So, Carl, you are on the clock with the Chicago Bears, and just like tomorrow night, you better not take too long to announce that pick.
Yeah, without further ado, Caleb Williams, the USC guy, going to be a Chicago Bear. Doesn't need to dress it up too much. He's the best quarterback in the class, and the Bears need one.
All right, Caleb Williams gone. The Commanders come up number two, and the betting favorite right now, if you go by PFF's board, is all the way down here at number 21. Jaden Daniels is the betting favorite right now. Justin, do you feel like that's the direction that the Commanders are going to go here?
Yeah, I do think it's going to be Jaden Daniels, number two overall. That's certainly been the smoke over the last couple of weeks, and I don't expect anything different. So it'll be Jaden Daniels, the dual threat Heisman winner, number two.
All right, we're going to move on to the Patriots next, and I know Bills fans are going to pull up a chair if they're late to the draft for this one, because whichever direction the Patriots go here is going to determine in large part what they're going to do over the next couple of years as an organization. I think from everything that I've read, everything that I've heard, they are going to stick and pick at this spot. I think Drake May is going to be the pick, Ryan, and I think it's one where, listen, it's all about the landing spot for these top three quarterbacks. And, you know, Drake May, depending on who you talk to, I know Nate Tice over the Athletic, he has Drake May as his number one quarterback on the board, even ahead of Caleb Williams. That's a little bit rich for my blood. But again, I don't study these guys in the same way. What do you think about the Patriots landing May potentially at this spot, and then give us your Cardinals pick?
Yeah, so May, in terms of the intangibles, they're all there. I mean, he has a lot of the big arm. He has everything that you want from a young quarterback. The inaccuracy is one of the biggest knocks on him, but it wasn't that many years ago that when the Bills took Josh Allen, that was one of the big knocks. They showed that in certain quarterbacks, you can kind of work with them and get them a little bit better in those areas. And, you know, in terms of the tools, that's a great quarterback. For Arizona, Matt, this is a prime trade spot. Now, I know we said no trades, but I think they're going to listen to some potential offers. If they don't have to slide back too far and can still get one of the two premier wide receivers, I wouldn't be shocked if that were the case. But obviously, staying put, it's Marvin Harrison Jr., top wide receiver in this draft class.
So, like, the latest they could probably trade back to and feel comfortable with still getting one of those guys is probably like 8, right?
I would look at like the Giants, where I'd feel most comfortable to make sure you're getting, you know, maybe the guy that you covet the most. But 8 is potential, you know, potentially another spot where you could feel comfortable doing that.
Well, I asked that only because what kind of, if you're the Cardinals or if you're the Giants, why are you going to make that trade knowing that ahead of you is the Chargers, who have Justin Herbert, and then the Cardinals, who have Kyler Murray? I'm just going to sit and wait. And I don't feel necessarily that I have to trade up for a quarterback. Or are you worried about potentially another team coming in and getting a quarterback? And I guess I bring this up only because, are any of these three quarterbacks, and we'll, Ryan, you can answer, and then we'll kind of go around the horn here. Are any of these quarterbacks worth panicking over losing, these next three?
It feels like, you know, the Michigan quarterback, JJ, is that quarterback that has risen up the ranks throughout this draft process. Now, the Giants, it does not seem like that they are enamored with him based on what some of these insiders are reporting. But the Vikings could want a quarterback like that. So let's just say that May doesn't go third. And I do think he does. But if it ends up being he's on the board, that's when the Giants would potentially look to trade up to maybe get Drake May. And the reason being, like you said, why wouldn't you just stay put? You're worried about a team like the Vikings. You're worried about some of these other teams offering a boatload to go up and get their guy, where you can make a smaller move, still give them, the Cardinals, that is, a lot of draft capital or capital that they covet. And then you're happy with your prospect that you get. And then if you're the Cardinals, you've added some more, you know, stock or draft picks to your chart, and that you can improve this roster and still get your top wide receiver.
Justin, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think what I keep coming to here is there's been so much smoke about the Cardinals trading back. And on one hand, I get it, because general manager Monty Austin Fort, he showed us to be that kind of guy, right? Like, he loves moving up and down the board.
So Justin,
when I look at it, I go,
Justin, your audio is coming in like really, really choppy. We're getting some comments in the thing. Oh. Can I have you bounce out and then come back in again? Just see if that helps.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, cool. Carl, what do you got?
Yeah, I think he was going in this direction, but the Cardinals, have a ton of picks already. I think like 6 in the top 90. I don't know their incentive to move back is as high as the other teams, that maybe like the Chargers, for example, who use some capital. At some point, you need blue chip players. And I think that if you move too far down the list here, you're going to run the risk of running out of getting one of those blue chip players to play with Kyler Murray. So in my opinion, I think you stick and pick unless you're blown away by some offer that you have to, you know, consider and take.
So is the pick Marvin Harrison, Ryan? Did you say that already?
The pick is Marvin Harrison Jr. That is correct.
All right. So, Carl, you're right back up, and I agree with your logic. I think when you have a chance to get a generational kind of player and you already have your quarterback, man, I would not want to go to work on Friday morning and have to look Kyler Murray in the eyes after having the chance to go get that guy and not going and get him. And that's not to say that Malik Nabers might be really good as well. Roma Dunze, maybe you land one of those guys too, but Harrison seems like such a slam dunk. Who do you got for the Chargers here? This is an interesting
one. I think this is an interesting one, and I think things have changed in like the last like 48 hours with this Chargers pick. Like, the entire draft process, they're a prime trade back team for obvious reasons. Jim Harbaugh wants to have his input on the organization. But everywhere he's gone, whether it's Stanford, San Francisco, and Michigan, he's been a trench guy. And I know the entire process, they've been a receiver team, but the past 48 hours, there's been a lot of smoke about going offensive lineman here if they can't get out of 5. I think you go Joel Alt, and if they're going at the scenario and he cements his, you know, physical presence that and brand that he sends everywhere he goes as a coach.
Yeah, I like the pick. I actually was listening to on Ryan Russillo's podcast. He had on Daniel Jeremiah and Todd McShay. They were kind of going back and forth, and I think it might have been Jeremiah. I can't remember, but he said he wouldn't be shocked if J.C. Latham is the pick here in a huge shocker. And obviously, like a big mauler type guy, has played right tackle in the past. You wouldn't necessarily have to move Rashawn Slater. That was the kind of logic there. That would be like a big time like surprise, because I feel like all, whether it be to the Chargers or the Titans, has been like in stone during the whole mock draft season. So that's going to be really interesting. All right, we got Justin back. Giants are on the clock. Obviously, quarterback in the mix. The two other top receivers on the board. What do you think here, Justin?
Yeah, I think it's Malik Nabers, you know, if they're staying here at number six. I mean, Darius Slayton led them in receiving yards last year, 770. That means 46th in the league. You know, it's very clear the need for a receiver here. They're still financially committed to Daniel Jones. So I've got Malik Nabers here at six.
Thanks, Justin. And I hate to do this, man, but your audio is just it's really messed up for some reason. Let's link up after the draft. We'll figure something out. We'll just adjust on the fly here. We appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for jumping through. We'll just kind of like roll this thing out with the three of us. It stinks. Justin's awesome. He's done a great job during the draft process, but a lot of comments about the audio in the background here. All right. Next up after that, I do agree. I think Nabers here to the Giants. I like the pick. I think you'd have to absolutely be in love. And I think some years too, guys, like, there's so much like pre-draft hype around some of the second tier of quarterbacks. And sometimes that doesn't necessarily add Ryan to getting to the night of the draft and having that be the case where it lives up to the hype, if you will.
Right. No, absolutely not. And we've seen that time and time again. But, you know, looking at where we are now with Malik Nabers on the Giants, you have to almost go that route because there's no sure thing at quarterback at this point. And not that there's a sure thing with those top three either, but this is a team that needs weapons desperately. And Nabers on some boards reportedly is the top receiver in this draft class. So the Giants, in an attempt to improve this roster, makes a lot of sense to me to go that route.
All right, the Titans are on the clock here and obviously need offensive line help. But with Joe Alt off of the board here, they could go to the next best thing and go with Fuaga out of Oregon State, Fautanu out of Washington, or Fashanu from Penn State. I think all of those are really good players. But man, the more we hear about Roma Dunze and the instability at wide receiver for Tennessee, you know, obviously having to deal AJ Brown, the Treylon Burks saga that didn't really necessarily pan out. I saw Ben Albright put out his mock draft and had Adunze last number 15, which, by the way, guys, if he's sitting there on the board at 11, I think Brandon Bean, Brian Gain, Terrence Gray, the entire front office for the Bills is blowing up every phone line from picks 11 to 14 or 11 to 15. But I'm going to go Adunze here just because I think he's the best player on the board.
Yeah, if that scenario panned out, Matt, you would literally have to restrain Brandon Bean if you were trying to stay put and not give up too much draft capital. That'd be too good of a scenario almost. Adunze, though, makes a lot of sense. You do have DeAndre Hopkins there who's older, so you want to slot in another young wide receiver into that core of the room. Obviously, they made a big splash in free agency as well. I like that pick a lot.
You're up, Ryan.
Okay. You know, right here, it just seems like an edge rusher has been the choice for the Falcons this entire time. I am going to go with Laiatu Latu, though, over Dallas Turner. Turner has been that popular pick for Atlanta, but everything I'm reading is teams are getting more and more comfortable with the medicals on Latu. And in terms of the upside, in terms of the pass rush moves, I think this is a big splash for Atlanta to help with their defense and their pass rush.
So the Bears are on the clock here. Carl, a couple of directions they can go. The top three wide receivers are off the board. I mean, I don't necessarily think that they have a massive tackle need. They addressed it in the draft last year, and I think they like their left tackle. but obviously an area that they can go. What do you think they'd lean here? And I wouldn't be surprised if they try to get out of this pick if this is the scenario.
I think this is the spot where they would try to get out of it, and maybe a team like the Saints or the Raiders would try to jump some of these other teams for a tackle. So I think this is the prime spot for that. I'm going to lean Byron Murphy in this scenario, and I think that they need some pass rush help, and he's probably the best interior guy that can provide that. So I will lean there if they have to stick and pick.
Yeah, I love that pick. And I feel like if you're looking for, at this point, you know, Bears team that defensively, I mean, Tremaine Edmonds went there last year, so I paid a little bit of extra attention. It was just an absolute train wreck of a defense. And I think adding like a chaos causer in the middle, Byron Murphy arguably could be the best defensive player in this draft when it's all said and done. I think that's a really smart move. All right, here next with the Jets, I know a lot of people are adding weapons here at this spot. You know, if Adunze's there, he's being mocked to them a ton. Neighbors, if he falls, Brock Bowers. I think if they put all the mock drafts together, I think Bowers to the Jets is like the most, like, you know, write it in pen. But I'm going to go with Fashanu from Penn State. I do not believe in their tackles at their ages, and the fact that counting on either of those guys to be ready to play an entire schedule. I think Fashanu also has got a little bit of guard flex, which gives them the ability to kind of move him around or maybe cross train him in a couple of spots. But whichever direction they go, no matter what tackle, guard, whatever, I think offensive line would be my priority if I can't get one of those top three wide receivers. Or maybe they just say Brian Thomas Jr. at this spot. Why not? We'll see which way they go. Ryan, you're on the clock here with Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota, you know, I guess I'm going to go J.J. McCarthy at this point. I think that they would be happy to get him at number 11. I think that they would consider possibly going Brock Bowers there just based on the talent alone, but quarterback is the biggest need, and he has been a riser in this draft class.
What do you guys think about this pocket here? So if the top 10 happens the way that it does, Brian Thomas Jr. is on the board, and then you have three teams that all probably need quarterbacks. Like if the draft went this way, I mean, there's a world we live in where J.J. McCarthy goes, then Penix goes, or Bo Nix, and then you know, reverse them. All three of these teams could take quarterbacks here, Carl.
They really could, and I think that. Am I on the clock here at 12?
You are.
Okay, got it.
Oh, okay, because I was. So I don't know if we're going to keep our original picks or.
We're bumping up. Okay, gotcha.
Oh no, we're changing on the fly here. We're changing on the fly.
I love it. I love it. Put my GM hat on. I love it. I think this is a spot where, once again, I'm getting all the teams I would like to get out of here. The Broncos are one of them. I think they're really linked to Bo Nix, if I'm not mistaken, in the draft process, which makes sense with the style of quarterback. However, not going Bo Nix here, I think 12 is a little too rich. So if I'm going to have to stick and pick here with the Broncos, I've seen some tackle help, maybe. I mean, no, excuse me, not tackle help. I believe they're a team that needs to tackle. Hold on one second. The Broncos, because I know there's
the Broncos
a run.
Broncos need everything from what I was listening to
yesterday. So, so I'm going to go tackle. We're going to take the top tackle off the board. I've seen a lot of teams love Fuaga out of Oregon State, big mauler type of guy. So we're going to go here at number 12.
There you go. All right, Raiders up next. I will make the pick here. I think that there's the connection, if I'm not mistaken, between Antonio Pierce and Penix. Was Penix at Arizona State at the same time as Pierce?
Jaden Daniels.
Oh, no, that was Jaden Daniels. Okay. I'm going to give them Penix anyway, just because I think Gardner Minshew, I don't think you're comfortable going into the season with him as your top option. I mean, the Colts won games last year, and he showed that he can, you know, kind of be that Kirk Cousins light or that Jimmy Garoppolo light. Like, I get it. Like, you bring him in because he's your fallback option. But I think, you know, Penix, I was listening to McAfee the other day, and last week they got in on Penix being a first round pick at minus 130. This week, it's all the way bet down to minus 240. So obviously a lot of the Sharks are thinking that Penix is going to get selected in the first round. And I think if you're the Raiders and you have your pick between these two guys, sure, you can move back and play like the game a little bit and see if he lasts. But if you like him enough, just go get him. And there it is. Michael Penix. Ryan, the Saints are up next.
Yeah, you know, the Saints to me, they're another team that's desperate for tackle help. Matt, let's take a look at the tackles that are left on the board here, the top tackles.
I love where your head's at, Ryan.
I'm going to go J.C. Latham. I think that he makes a lot of sense for this team, helps them out quite a bit. I wouldn't be surprised if this was a team that was trading up to try to get one of the top tackles in this class.
So I like the pick. So we'll go Latham here. And I think if you get him at 14 and there's guys talking about him going top five, top seven, I think you're really excited. The Saints need it. So that makes a ton of sense. So I thought throughout this whole mock draft process that the Colts, to me, after re-signing Michael Pittman, bringing in Josh Downs in the draft last year, that like wide receiver wouldn't be super at the top of their prior list. I know it's listed here according to PFF as their top need. But to me, the chance to add a corner is like so good at this spot. And I think it falls in with like the value in the draft. So I think that whose pick is it? It's Carl. So I'm not going to make the pick. But I want to bring this up because this is the time where if you are on the Brian Thomas train, if you're Brandon Bean, this is the area where I think you got to start to think about trading up. Because I think any of the next four teams could theoretically take Brian Thomas Jr. But I guess the question comes, and we'll start with Carl and then we'll go to Ryan. What are you willing to give up to get up into this area? Like, would you give up next year's first round pick? Would you give up next year's second round pick and maybe a fourth and a fifth this year? Like, how much are you willing to spend to go get Brian Thomas versus kind of sitting, seeing how the board plays out and potentially maybe even drafting a 28 a receiver or moving back? Start with Carl.
I like your second package better. I don't think giving up a first round pick for a guy who's not in the consensus top three receiver is something that I would choose to do. But this is all, like, but you're right though. This is the range where you, if you want to go get him, I think you should do it. The Jaguars, they need a receiver and they didn't want to see Calvin really walk out the door. They just got outbid by the Titans to do so. So they clearly are in need of one. Don't think the Bengals are in the market to do so, but who knows if T. Higgins gets traded on draft day or whatever the case may be. The Steelers have a dire need, although they usually are a second-round receiver team. So, like, there are a bunch of teams. And it's not just the Bills who need a receiver. The teams behind them as well, whether it's the Panthers, the Chiefs, Ravens as well. So, I think this is the prime area spot where teams should start targeting Brian Thomas for sure.
Yeah, completely agree. And, you know, if the Bills did have a consensus grade on Brian Thomas Jr. that was comparable with those top three, I would then say, okay, if that's maybe when you are trying to part with the first round pick. I just don't see that being the case. I know there he's kind of in that second tier or second island all on his own leading up to this draft class, but a first round pick is too rich for me at this point.
All right, Colts up here. Carl, who do you got?
We're going with.
Oh, no.
He froze up on us. Now, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to see if I can do a solo layout. Yeah, Carl is frozen. This is a tough spot to be in. What do we do here?
Did it sound like he was saying cornerback?
It did sound like he was doing cornerback, and it sounded like he was going to say Quinyon Mitchell. So I think we're going to give him Quinyon Mitchell. Yeah, at this point, like, I think that's a really good pick for them. They're corners, Ryan. We were talking about it on the last live mock. Yeah. Absolutely wretched. So I think that's the play.
Big need. Huge all need right, for this team and get the top one.
Let's go to Seattle now. You're up.
Yeah. Yeah. Seattle, for me, this is an easy one. Troy Fontenot. He makes a ton of sense right down the road at Washington. His offensive coordinator and O-line coach are now on this coaching staff. He's a first round pick. They need interior line help. You know, if I were to say, is there one pick in the middle of the draft that you're confident in? This would be it. I'm linking those two guys up or that player with that team based on the prior relationships and the talent.
Yeah. I think that's a good pick. And I think getting him at this spot, I mean, there's just such value in getting a starting quality tackle at this point in the draft. And I think that makes a ton of sense. All right. Let's take a look at the Jaguars now. You know, Christian Kirk, Zay Jones, Gabe Davis now, Devin Duvernay. They got four receivers there. I don't necessarily know if they have a number one. I think they can go in a couple of directions here. I think they can maybe even maybe look at tackle as well. Adding a tackle at this spot, I think, is wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Cam Robinson in place there at left tackle, Anton Harrison at right tackle. I don't know if you're super excited about that. There's some good interior offensive line players as well. They can go defensive side of the ball. You know, whether it be a cornerback, I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think getting Terrion Arnold at this spot would be massive. But they're the Jags, and I feel like they're going to just do a Jagsy thing. And I think they're going to take Brian Thomas Jr.
Because he's,
like I said, like, I mean, after this is a huge steep drop off. So I think they go in that direction here. Brian Thomas is the pick. Carl is back. We did you dirty, Carl. I shouldn't say we. I did you dirty. You froze, and then I made you the solo layout on the screen there for a second, just so we could appreciate the freeze. Anyway,
you know, that's my fault. Hey, blame the Wi-Fi, y'all. Blame the Wi-Fi.
It's all good. So, were you going to pick Quinyon Mitchell?
Yes.
Oh,
hey, we got it.
Nailed it. So you're right back up on the clock. Troy Fontenot went at 16 after Mitchell, and then Brian Thomas Jr. to the Jags. So now the Bengals are on the clock here at 18.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, so I know that Bengals fans this entire process have been like, man, D-tackle here, like Johnny Newton, things of that nature, or Byron Murphy if he falls this far. But if Brock Bowers is looking you dead in the face at this point, and there are very few teams who can, I would be comfortable giving them a tight end and be like, oh, that's a position that's not luxury. You plug in Brock Bowers to an offense that's going to lose T. Higgins next year, that's scary. So I think they run up there and go select Brock Bowers.
Love it. Good pick here. Ryan, you're up next with the Rams.
Yeah, I believe D-line is a need for the Rams, and I do see Newton's name sitting right there. Consensus, you know, number 11 pick, so I'm going to go that route.
Like it. All right, Steelers on the clock here. And I feel like at this point, from the Bills' perspective, you almost take a sigh of relief. I think the earlier that Thomas goes and all four off the board, if they don't make an aggressive move up, I think the draft then becomes a lot more comfortable for you because you can kind of just sit – watch how it plays out. There's not this like, you know, they're going to be watching if one or two of those guys is available in the top half there before 15. As soon as like you get to 16, 17, it's going to be kind of like sitting on your hands, trying not to overreact to anything. But now that they're off the board, I think that you're in a much more comfortable spot. A lot of teams here could make things, shake things up in a big way. I think the Steelers could take a receiver. I think the Dolphins could take a receiver. I mean, every time I see Xavier Worthy's name in a mock draft, I'm like looking to see if it's with the Dolphins because it just seems like that kind of speed would be super interesting for Mike McDaniel. I'm going to go a little bit crazy here, and maybe it's not that crazy, but I'm going to go interior offensive line, and I'm going to go Graham Barton with who is the top center in this draft. Listen, the Steelers need help across their entire offensive line, but specifically on the interior. So I think getting a potential guy that could play all five spots, maybe you're starting center day one. I think you like it, Ryan. What do you got for the Dolphins?
Yeah. Oh, no, Real quick, just on that.
Charles' turn for the Dolphins. I'm sorry.
Real quick, though, on Barton, makes a ton of sense, Matt. Pittsburgh season ended in Buffalo, and I think, you know, when they went back and watched that game, they watched Mason Cole get absolutely mauled by Ed Oliver. They let go of Cole in the offseason. They haven't replaced him yet. I think center makes a ton of sense for the Steelers, and then in a few picks too with the Cowboys.
Ed Oliver had so much fun in that game that he ran out of steam for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
So maybe that was not a great thing for the Bills. All right, Carl, up next, the Dolphins. Very important pick from a Bills perspective.
Yeah, I think the trenches is where the Dolphins should target this. On one hand, Terrion Armstead has pondered with retirement the past few off seasons. And you're like, man, getting a replacement for him going for the future will be enticing. However, if Dallas Turner is still on the board here at 21, I know he's not directly a Chris Wilkins replacement, but they Bradley Chubb is coming off of a season-ending injury, and so is Jalen Phillips. Having a guy who can step in and replace those snaps, I think, is very beneficial at this point.
No, I mean, I think that if he's on the board, I mean, there's people saying that he's going to go to eight to the Falcons. I think you run it to the podium because I think you make a great point. Like, Jalen Phillips, I think, is going to get back at some point and be the guy that he was. But I'm very doubtful that Bradley Chubb is ever going to be the same version of the player that he was. And we have that same those same questions about Von Miller, and he's a couple of years older than Bradley Chubb. So I think Shaq Barrett's a nice addition, but there's serious concern on their defensive line. And I just think the talent level has dropped off now at defensive tackle with the top two guys off the board. So I think Turner makes a ton of sense. All right. The Philadelphia Eagles are tough here because the top two corners are off the board. If Mitchell or Arnold were here, I'd run it to the podium. I would say that's the pick. Cooper DeJean is a little bit different because it's like you got to project it a little bit. How do they view him? So do they view him as a corner? Do they think he might be a safety? Is that a little bit too rich for them at safety? And the other part of this, and I'm going to kind of go a little bit wild here. I had this in my actual mock draft with Verse on the board here. I'm going to go Jared Verse. And I know that they went out and they got Bryce Huff, but he's a little bit more of a situational pass rusher. I think Jared Verse coming in as a three down guy, a physical guy. We know Howie Roseman likes to address his defensive line. So I'm going to go and follow the Carl's lead. The run on edge here, mini run starts, and we'll go to the Vikings next at 20.
Stealing my draft pick, Perino.
My bad.
No, it was my spot with the team. So let's see. Who do we have?
What do you mean?
You took Barton.
So you were up. All right, I'll give you two in a row, Talbot. I'll give you two in a row.
I was going to go cornerback, though, for the Eagles, for the record. And DeJean was one of their one of his 430 visits was with the Eagles. And you said Arnold's still on the board there, is he not?
Oh, he is still on the board.
That's intriguing.
Dude, I'm not going to be a general manager anytime. Oh, man. Soon, boy. Wait,
what do we do with the Vikings' first pick? Can we go back?
I also think Verse, though, like just to like back this up a little bit, like I think the positional value of edge rusher is higher when you can get a potential top guy at that spot. Like I think that, you know, it's a little bit easier, and I shouldn't say, I mean, Carl, you could speak to this probably better than I can. But I feel like just finding guys on day two at corner, especially in this draft, is probably a little bit easier to find a path to impact or playing time than it is at edge, because there's such a steep drop off after Verse with Turner and Latu off the board.
No. Me personally, I think the top two corners are like in a class of their own. Mm-hmm. And then the other guys, they're in a bucket. Like, I think there's like four or five guys who are all in that same class. So I agree with that for sure.
All right, Ryan.
So we went JJ, Vikings correct, earlier?
Yep. Yeah.
Perfect. Defensive back is a need for the Vikings listed there, correct? DB?
Yes.
At the end? Yeah, let's go Arnold there. Just talent-wise, jumps off the chart. Mims would be intriguing, too, to get your quarterback some protection. But I'll go Arnold.
All right, you're on the clock again. Go Cowboys.
Back to back. All right, Jackson Powers Johnson, another team that lost their center in free agency. Didn't replace him yet. This is a team that has coveted the offensive line, done a nice job building it up over the years. That's the direction I'm going to go.
All right, so we are three picks away from the Bills, and things are very, very interesting. With Cooper DeJean still on the board here, I think the Bills, if you're in love with the guy, whether it be him, whether it be Adonai Mitchell, maybe another player or two, we can kind of scroll down here. I know that there's even a little bit of late juice on Xavier Worthy with the Bills. I know he had a top 30 visit. You're paying attention. What do you think the Packers do here, Carl, in this spot?
They've been in love with Cooper DeJean this entire process. I know like a lot of fans and a lot of media members in general, like if he's there on the board at 25, I know they were kind of scared that like based off his pro day that he was going to get shot up the boards. But if he's still here at 25 with his versatility, I think that their general manager is like, bring Cooper, keep him in the Midwest and bring him aboard.
All right, there he is. He goes off the board. Brandon Bean does not trade up because guess what? There's no trades in this mock draft. So even if he wanted to go up and get the Gene, he cannot. So we got the Bucks here on the clock. This is interesting. I think they can go a couple different directions. Obviously, Shaq Barrett now in Miami. I think edge is definitely an area where I think the Bucks probably would have even looked to trade up, a couple picks to try to go and get Verse or Turner, especially with Turner kind of falling a little bit. But I will go Chop Robinson here for them. I think it addresses a need. I think that he fits kind of like something I was reading, like, you know, he's a system fit. He's somebody that can kind of come in there and maybe find a role in year one. So Cardinals on the clock. Ryan, you're right back up.
Yeah, you know, they already dressed wide receiver. Let's kind of take a look at the top O lineman left. It looks like they need more interior than. Boy, you know, Frazier's been kind of a late riser here, too. Let's go Zach Frazier with the pick.
So Zach Frazier goes to the Cardinals. So they come out of this with a potential franchise center and arguably the best wide receiver in this draft class in Marvin Harrison Jr. And that brings us to the Bills. And I think we're going to go around the horn here in terms of what you think the Bills first will do. And then I want to talk about what we think they should do. On the board at 28, Adonai Mitchell sticking out like a sore thumb. Xavier Worthy is also there. He's way down on PFF's board. Ladd McConkey, Xavier Leggett, another guy that has been often talked about, linked to the Bills. Ryan, you reported a couple days ago that he was on a top 30 visit to Buffalo. Keon Coleman.
Private workout.
Draft workout. Keon Coleman, probably the most polarizing player in this entire draft, no matter what the position is. So, right. Carl, we'll start with you. Let's start with what you think they will do here, and then we'll go to Ryan and then myself.
I think what they will do, I think they'll, if the board fell this way, I think they would take A.D. Mitchell. And I know there are a lot of concerns based off of the off-the-field stuff, maybe his effort on the field as well. And you'll be like, man, is that really a good fit for what they preach and what they want to do here in Orchard Park? But I think the talent is oozing with potential. And he's one of the few guys in this draft, and it's a loaded draft at receiver, but he's one of the few that actually show true X receiver potential. And I think that with his ridiculous body catch radius, he tracks the deep ball very well, and he has good size over at 6'3". So I think if he's there at the board, and if you're looking for that receiver number one and that X role, I think he fits it best based on where they're at right now.
All right. Yeah, I agree with actually everything that Carl just said. You know, we've been talking for months now about how the Bills have a certain type of wide receiver that they have in mind. But if they're truly looking to get an X receiver, they have to think a little bit differently. And, you know, Mitchell makes a ton of sense based on the frame, based on the size, based on the down the field talent. Xavier Leggett is another guy that I think the Bills probably do like a lot. He's been very vocal about, if no one gets me in the first round, I'm going to Carolina in round two. And we'll see how true that really is if he does fall out of round one. But I do think they have to kind of get away from these guys that could play inside, can play outside, and get a true X. So I like Carl's thinking.
So with that in mind then, Ryan, maybe if it's in the second round, if there's a trade back scenario, are you coming off of your Ladd McConkey position for maybe a Troy Franklin instead because of the potential boundary ability that he brings a little bit more so maybe than Ladd?
I'm not as high on Troy Franklin overall as a prospect as I was with Ladd with that trade down scenario to 36. So I know PFF has Franklin pretty high here. I have him a little bit further down my wide receiver ranking. So I'm not sure I would make that jump based on the true X tendencies. With the trade down, it was kind of what was the best receiver that was available to me, in my opinion. And I want McConkey in that scenario.
What do you think, Carl? Let me ask you this. As you look at the game through a DB lens, and what's so hard to deal with this offense historically has been Stephon Diggs. They're reimagining that this offseason. So obviously Mitchell comes in. He gives them that bona fide X, somebody that you can count on to play that role in the very least, somebody that you're going to try to develop, maybe not at a place that Adunze is at or Harrison or Brian Thomas Jr., but somebody that has a lot of you know, skills. How do you view this offense though? Like if they get Mitchell or an archetype like that versus if they don't get that player, like how do you think this offense is going to run in the passing game?
Yeah, I think a player of this magnitude, a true X receiver who can be a number one guy, from a DB's perspective, we always treated them different than any other good receiver on the field, whether that's your the Z, the Y, or the H. And there's a couple of reasons why. One, it changes the entire run game. Like, for example, if we have a dynamite guy across from me, I'm telling that safety, like, hey, buddy, I need a little help. And if, because of that, he can't help out in the run game. And with a player like Josh Allen, now the Bills are playing 10-on-9 every snap. So that's one reason why. Another reason why a player like that commands a lot of attention, so the other guys on the field, Khalil Shakir, Dalton Kincaid, Curtis Samuel, will get more attention, will get more opportunities to succeed as well. So I know when we played against T. Higgins, Mike Williams, players of that likeness in college, man, it was pick your poison. And I know going up against Trevor Lawrence and Deshaun Watson kind of skewed that a little bit, but it was like, man, do we want to let Trevor Etienne run for 150 or let T. Higgins go for 150? And it didn't really work for us either way, but that was the kind of the attention. That was kind of the mindset that we have going in. So if you're the Bills, man, if you have a true guy on the outside, like we've seen with Stephon Diggs in the past, and get another guy that's in that same mold, it helps out so much because you put a fear of God in defense a lot. Mm-hmm.
So, okay. AD Mitchell, I think I agree with you. I think that's the pick at this spot just because of the high end potential. I think the Bills should probably trade back in this spot. What do you think about that? And that's, I've been so on a roller coaster with Mitchell throughout this whole process. There's so much that we don't know that it's hard to create like a full understanding or a full evaluation because all of the knocks on him, all of these little things that have come out, whether it be, you know, how he deals with the diabetes, the kind of teammate he is, the kind of worker he is, all these little things, the Bills scouts are going to be able to answer those questions better than any of us are going to be able to answer them. And that would lead to whether or not you're comfortable with this pick. Let me ask you this too, Carl, as a kind of an aside. If they weren't to go Mitchell here and they were to trade back, and then now you're looking at a bucket of receivers, I'm thinking about Keon Coleman, Xavier Worthy, Xavier Leggett, like anybody else you want to add in the mix there, who do you think is like the number one target at this stage, if you don't go Mitchell and he's off the board here in the next couple picks of that next group? And then Ryan, if you want to bounce in off that.
I would say Xavier Leggett. I think his upside as a prospect is very, very high and it's enticing. And once again, fills the mold of one of the few receivers in his draft outside of the top three who could fit the X receiver role. And I do think he has a long way to go. And I understand the fifth year breakout thing is concerning. It really is. But his career to this point has been anything but normal, whether it was a motorcycle accident, losing his parents at a young age, switching positions. Like, he's had nothing normal about this process whatsoever. So I think you can add some context to why he broke out in his fifth year. So I would feel comfortable if they had to move back. And I know the Panthers thing is scary. I've seen that a ton. He's from that area and all that stuff. But if you're not comfortable with AD Mitchell, because I still don't know if the Bills are comfortable with the things that that he has going on. And I think that is a big thing. And once again, we don't know that. Only the scouts will. So if he's on the board and they pass on him, I think that kind of answers the questions where they're not comfortable with the stuff off the field. And I think Leggett, by all accounts, is a good character prospect from what we know.
I agree completely. When I traded down on that last one, Leggett was gone. He went to Carolina. But if he was available in this trade down scenario, that's the route I would go. The upside, some of those plays that you saw him make at South Carolina were just those wow, jaw-dropping plays. He has that big playability, has the frame for that X receiver. So that would be the route I would go as well.
The one thing I will, like, just to offer a different vantage point here, because you both agreed on Mitchell, the Bills could consider tackle here if Mims is still on the board. And I only say that because the unknown of Spencer Brown's 2024 season, if he comes out and replicates what he did a year ago, plays every snap, plays at a borderline Pro Bowl level, and especially going by his PFF grades, you're looking at a pretty sizable number for his contract as a free agent. And then you're thinking about, okay, like, do you want to let him go and potentially get a comp pick for him? And if you add a guy like Mims now, you have an elite swing tackle for now to develop. And I think the one thing on Mims is that he might need a little time to develop. So you got that part of it. I know it's not a need, and maybe it doesn't help you so much in 24, but to me, that could be totally part of the reset. If you're, if Mims is like the last guy on your board with a first round grade, making the move there, or maybe it's Nate Wiggins or Kool-Aid McKinstry. I go back to Wiggins at the early part of, and you know, Carl, you could speak to what you think of the player here as a cornerback, but I remember going into the college season last year, wasn't Nate Wiggins one of the top, if not the top corner on a lot of big boards? And so I think, like, of course you go through the process and maybe he didn't have a great final season at Clemson or whatever's kind of led to his slight drop in stock. But if you're Brandon Bean and you have a first round grade on the cornerback, oh, by the way, Rasul Douglas is going to be a free agent after this season. And right now you only have one reliable cornerback. I'm not putting Kyer in that bucket yet, in Christian Benford, under contract beyond this season.
I like Nate Wiggins as a prospect. I do think the Emmanuel Forbes struggles out the gate kind of like hurt his stock a little bit when people were like, oh, Emmanuel Forbes is out there getting bullied a little bit. Maybe he's not as effective in the run support. And Nate Wiggins isn't much bigger at all than Emmanuel Forbes. So I think that's kind of scared teams off a bit. But in terms of just like if we're playing 7-on-7 and just ask a guy to guard a guy in front of him, there's not many better corners than Nate Wiggins in this draft class. I'll put him up there. If we're not playing with shoulder pads, I'm putting him up there with Quinyon Mitchell and Terrion Arnold 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, and between those two positions, Matt, that you're talking about, besides wide receiver, I would lean cornerback over tackle. And I know you just won, you know, back injuries have been something that have plagued him at right tackle. So you're right. The Bills could need a tackle this season, but they rotate their cornerbacks a little bit more. You mentioned Rasul Douglas being 30. You mentioned, you know, Christian Benford's been dinged up here a little bit early on in his career. So I would lean corner over tackle if you weren't going wide receiver in this spot. But I think it would be either wide receiver here, or trade down a few picks and try to get wide receiver in round two.
Little bit of a preview in our final, it's not a mock draft, but on our Buffalo Kickoff Live show later tonight, I have the Bills trading up my final, because, you know, everybody took Brian Thomas first and all the scenarios were played out. I had the Bills trading up two or three spots for Verse, because I think that's like, if he's available there, and maybe, you know, at the Bucks pick or at the Packers pick, I think there could be a little bit of juice there. If they really like that player, if they have a first round grade on him, of obviously positional value taken into account, that could be interesting. Ryan, before we get out of here, let's finish out this mock here.
Yeah.
The Lions on the clock. Actually, you picked Frazier, so I'll go to Carl with the Lions. Who have a couple of needs, and they've been one of the more fun teams in the draft the last couple of years.
Yeah, and looking at the board, you're like, there's no way, like in hell, that they're going to pick someone like in the top five of that board, right? However, I do like Kool-Aid McKinstry as a prospect, and they have a dire need at CB2, so I would lean here and take Kool-Aid and grab my boy off the board and send him to the D.
All right, that's a pretty good spot for him, and the Lions get some value there. Ryan, Ravens at 30.
Mims, I think offensive line help makes a lot of sense for them. He kind of stands out on the board. Best player available.
The 49ers, obviously everything going on with Brandon Ayuk could significantly impact this pick. But with him still on the roster right now, I'm going to have them go with Tyler Guyton, tackle out of Oklahoma, one of the superstars of the Senior Bowl, has some flexibility, could potentially play some inside as well, I believe. Carl, close us down here with the Chiefs. Wide receiver is the number one need. Where do you think they go here?
I think receiver is the number one need, but honestly, I think tackle was like more of an issue for them last year. And I think the BYU kid, I'm going to butcher his last name, so I'm not even going to say it. Kingsley, that guy right there who's still in
Sua Maratia.
Yeah, my man right there. I've seen him mock to this position a lot here. I know they need a receiver, but I think they can get one in the second round. Tackle was, I think, a bigger issue last year for them.
All right, let's see what we got for the grade. Oh, they didn't give us a grade because we picked for every single pick. That play is not in our playbook because you selected more than three teams. So we didn't get a grade, but I thought that was a fun exercise. Listen, there's so many different ways that this thing could go tomorrow night. And I think Brandon Bean laid it out pretty well last week. I was telling Ryan, Carl, I'm doing my final mock draft, and this has been the toughest final mock draft in my six seasons covering this team because I just can't get a really good beat on what I think is going to happen. And I really think that they're going into this and like rolling the dice, like anything could happen. Like, and so I think I'm going to have them trading up, being very aggressive in multiple trade ups, and I'm going to leave a little bit to the imagination there. But what's your final answer if you were put to the fire, like what the Bills are going to do?
If I had gun in my head right now, I think they trade up for Brian Thomas Jr. in the late teens. I think that's the target that I would say. I feel like they really want Rome. I think there's a lot of smoke with that. I just don't know how many teams want to go all the way back to 28 in that scenario. Maybe the Falcons, because they want to aim for a defensive type of prospect, and then maybe they can get that type of value later on in the draft. But I think in the teens, you can get some of those players. I mean, get one of those teams who don't mind going back to 28 and still get some value there.
At 11, Ryan, if, say, McCarthy's off the board, the Giants took McCarthy, four quarterbacks are gone. The Vikings are like, well, crap. Byron Murphy's off the board. That was their number two target, let's just say. Now you're in a situation where they're looking to trade back. They get on the horn with the Bills. Odunze is on the board, and obviously they have Jefferson there. They have what's the other kid? Addison as well. So the Bills call up, and they want this year's first, this year's second, next year's first, and next year's third to go up to get Odunze.
He fits the process to a T. He is right in there in that first bucket. This is a team, and I know Brandon Bean hates giving up draft capital, but if you're looking for a player to put you over the top or to keep you in that AFC contention, yes, I sign off. I do it. No hesitation.
My one pushback, and I'll push this over to you, Carl, get your thoughts on it. I would really try to fight for that number 60 in this year's draft, just because I think that there's going to be value there to move back potentially in the third round and add multiple picks maybe in the third at that spot. So if you could somehow do a fourth next year and a fourth this year, and then the one this year and the one next year, I would do it for that if they would do it. But I almost feel like that 60 is a little bit too rich, just knowing what else I think that they need and the value that they can maybe get in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They get two picks in that range. Now, all of a sudden, you come out with Odunze and two picks in the top 100. I think you're really excited about. What do you think, though, Carl?
I think that proposition is a little scary. I mean, they already are kind of lacking on capital in the first 2 days anyways, and going all the way up to Odunze, you're out. Like, you don't have any other bullets to shoot there. But I think he's the type of prospect who makes it worth it. And you didn't give away either next year's twos, which one of those could be a pretty bad Vikings team next year, which could be another late first round pick for you as well to a certain extent. So I think in that scenario, if they were able to keep both twos, so they keep that, let's say that Vikings pick that ends up being 38, and then you get your own second round pick, I think in that scenario, you're like, you know what? We'll let that rock, and we'll sign off on that for sure.
This has been a awesome exercise, as it has been the last 2 years. Bummer that Justin had to bounce out with the audio issues, but I think everybody handled it like champs. Carl, let everybody know where they can find your work. Anything that you got, I know you and Thad have been pounding out the pods the last couple of weeks. Let everybody know where they can find your stuff.
Yeah, you can find some of my stuff at my X is right there below me, right there at Jones11_, as well as some of our work that Thad and I do with Thad Brown. RochesterFirst.com. Just go to the tab 8 Sports Extra. We've been doing a lot of stuff in terms of these receiver prospects, some other prospects that we like as well. Cough, cough, Cooper DeJean. Sorry, didn't mean to say that too loud. But just in general, just some of the guys that we like and what the Bills may and may not do come tomorrow evening.
Ryan, what do you think about a potential trade up to 24 to get in front of the Packers for the Bills to get DeJean? To Carl's point, Packers been linked to him. They like him a lot. Would you think that would be a player worth a move if, say, Mitchell goes to the Eagles at 22, Thomas Jr. goes to the Colts, and the top three go in the first 8 picks? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's worth it as long as Brian Thomas Jr. is off the board. Even if Mitchell was still there, I think it's worth it because, you know, DeJean is such a clean prospect. He can play corner. He can play safety, depending on what the Bills want to do with him. Obviously, they would have a plan for him. And Buffalo's interest, again, you can't mask your interest in this prospect when Cooper DeJean, who has all the medical rechecks and he has a late pro day, he only has time to go on 4 top 30 or 30 visits. He's not going to Buffalo if he doesn't think this team's really interested in selecting me. So I think for the Bills, the interest is legitimate and make a lot of sense. It addresses some a need. And this is such a deep wide receiver class that you could come back in round two and still get a really quality player and then even go into free agency and sign someone there too.
Great, great stuff. The wait is almost over. Thank you to Carl Jones. He's Ryan Talbot. Matt Parrino, we will see you tomorrow. Start of the NFL draft. Maybe we'll have a pick to talk about. We'll see. Or maybe Brandon Bean will totally change his entire personality and trade out of the first round. I'm not betting on it. See you guys later.